Opinions and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Wow. I go into withdrawal over the weekend when I don't get a chance to get together with you guys. I want you people. I want folks. This is amazing.
Thing, yeah. And it is against the law to send any coded message on the shortwave. If they catch you sending a coded message, they yank your license and come and confiscate your material, your hardware.
Hey, Larry, hell, what's the law, man? Law was made to be broken, wasn't it? Huh? Who can, do you ever get the feeling that we're the only ones following the law? Anybody else feel like that but me? Huh?
Yeah, but if you don't follow that law, you lose your ham radio.
Well, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that they pick and choose who they want to charge and who they don't want to charge. That's my point. Yeah, Paul.
That applies to the other guys.
Yeah, that law applies to other guys. Yep, yep. Hey, want to acknowledge real quickly the death of Steve Deck's dad. 87, I think he said he was, wasn't he, Steve? 87 years old, but you only get one daddy. And so I told Steve, and I know all of you guys will continue to lift him up. His mom is 80, I think he said 84-year-old mom.
86.
86-year-old mom who's been taking care of him for who knows how long. And I know that when my father died and my mother who, you know, didn't have to take care of my dad. My dad was healthy till he died, but still just having him around. I know that when my dad died that I know the withdrawal. I don't even know the term to use it. My mom went through. Frank wasn't around anymore. And so I think we need to let's just continue to lift up Steve and his mother in particular, because, man, her life's going to really, really change it at 84 years old and get up and not have to take care of her husband anymore. And so, Steve, we'll lift you up, buddy. We feel for you. You only get one daddy. And
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. Good.
He went very quick, you know, and he told my mom that he was tired of being a burden to her, you know. It's all good. It's all good.
Labor of love, right? Labor of love, brother. There are such things.
Trying to figure out when we're going to have the funeral. It's just because we got people. I got a nephew in Tennessee. He can't get up in time, so we might be postponing it a week. But it's all good. It's all good.
You know, we care, folks. We're pretty bad at this. You say, "Well, he knows I care." You know, we care, Steve. Whether you hear from us or not, we're praying for you, man.
Thank you.
Sure. I just want real quickly. I did some commenting on Monday. I was a little bit fired up on Friday. I'm sorry about the FBI. They are poking around. The FBI, they haven't been to see me yet. I expect them to, but they're really poking around.
They saw Jamie.
Yeah, they saw Jamie. And isn't it sad, really, that we don't trust him anymore? It's like Dennis Prager says. I don't know if you guys know Dennis Prager or not. Dennis Prager says the left ruins everything it touches. And I thought, man, oh, man, is that ever true? They ruined education. They ruined Hollywood. They ruined government. They ruined marriage. Everything the left touches, they destroy. Isn't that something? So that's what, you know, because if I don't want to get too deep into this. But in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was void and without form. Those two words, when you break them down, it means chaos. There's chaos. So the devil is always trying to return to chaos. I'm spinning. Am I still up here, Mike? Something just changed on my screen. Still up here, Spencer? Okay. Somebody thumbs up me. So, okay, good, good. Chaos. There's always a battle. The devil's always, the dark side's always trying to bring us back to chaos. And, you know, I'm going to get Craig Mickle in here. Craig called me yesterday. I think it was yesterday, 2 days, whenever. But something's really, really profound I want to get to. But did you guys, when you guys were in D.C., did anybody feel a spirit of chaos but me? Have you ever noticed that the world is chaotic? There's no right. There's no wrong. There's no solution. There's no up. There's no down. There's no normal. There's no abnormal. It's all chaos. That's how we know that the enemy is at work. Lost my train of thought there. The FBI is still poking around. I haven't done anything wrong. You haven't done anything wrong. With all the stuff that's going on in America, it's just discouraging to think that they would be coming and poking around us, isn't it? Really, really is something. I want to start this morning with Jeremiah. Jeremiah. I think that's about third, fourth thing. There you go. I want to talk about this today. And I had some folks. Let me ask this question. What if the things that we've been doing were really working? What if they were really working? And what if they're really working and we don't believe they are? What if they are? Would we be surprised if we took the things that we've been, well, here in Jeremiah, told to do and did them and they were actually working? I think. Me now, the left is at its weakest moment in my lifetime. Not the devil's team so much, but the left. They are pulling out all the stops. I think they are wounded, deeply, deeply wounded. And I don't think we understand how deeply, deeply wounded they are. And so I want to be able to talk a little bit about this morning. But I got Jeremiah 1 up here. And let's start at verse 4, Spencer. I was going to call you Sheldon, but maybe I'm slowly getting out of that. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, don't you love that? This so many times in the scriptures, this is how it's presented. The word of the Lord came to me saying, or the Lord spoke, whatever. So the word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Now, we can argue right there a second, because we take that scripture right there and we assume that applies to every born person. Before they were formed in the womb, they knew him. That's what we assume. We have to think about the word means to know. What does that mean, to know? To know. To be more intimate. Before the Lord formed everybody in the womb, did he know them? No, I think this is directed right at Jeremiah. But I also think this could be directed right at you as well. Before he formed you in the womb, he knew you. And before you came out of the womb, he sanctified you. And he ordained you a prophet to the nation. Now, I don't want to get to, I'm not a theologian, okay? But prophecy is not what they've made it to be today, in my most humble opinion.
Amen, Coach.
A prophet is not one who, although prophets do sometimes speak the future, a prophet is one who speaks for the Lord, speaks for God. That's what a prophet does. He speaks the oracles of God for God. That's a prophet in my understanding. Not a fortune teller, not a future teller, okay? Then the Lord said, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm only a child. But the Lord said unto me, see not that I'm a child, for thou go to all that I send you. See, again, this could apply to Steve, and to Rochelle, and to Jeff, and to Mike Heath, and to Jeff. And it applies to all. Will you go to all those that he sends you? Whatsoever I can command you, will you speak? See, if you'll do that, you'll be a prophet. If you'll do that. The Lord just needs a person to speak through. Just needs lips to be able to utter through. That's all it is. And isn't it amazing? He says, don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of them. Why? Isn't it interesting? He said, don't be afraid of their faces. The faces. I'm not afraid of people's faces. But evidently a lot of people are. Why? Because face shows you what's inside them, right? But why? Don't be afraid of their face. Why? For I'm with you to do what? Deliver you. He's not with you to get you in a mess. He's with you to get you out of one. Well, actually, he's with you to get you in and out of one. He'll put you in a mess and then he'll get you out of it, right? If I'm with you to deliver you, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put his hand, touched my mouth. Hey, there's 98 of you in the queue right now. Did it ever dawn on you that God could use you? Just you? That the Lord could put his hand, touch it, and touch your mouth? And you could speak for him. What a powerful, powerful thought that is. The Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Man, oh man, oh man. What if that's really true? What if that's really true? What if he really did say, hey, you know what, Coach Dave? Here's what I want you to do, Coach. I want you, as crazy it may seem to you and to your wife and everybody around you, Coach, I want you to get in your car and I want you to drive 7.5 hours and I want you to go to 15 Old House Lane in Chappaqua, New York, because I got something that needs to be done there and I need somebody to go. And would you go do that? Would you go do that for me? I said, me? Why? My wife thinks I'm crazy. They already think I'm crazy. Why would I do that? He said, yeah, I know. But he said, if you do, I'll put my words in your mouth. So, all right. Everybody thinks I'm crazy. I'll go do it. Okay. And I come back home, say, hey, I gotta go again. So this time I'm not gonna go alone. I'm gonna take a bunch of people with me. And Randy Lunsford says, hey, Coach, I'd like to go. Why? Because the Lord touched him, put a word in him. And Randy went out there to Chappaqua, New York, and not only he went there and he didn't do it. He didn't do what the Lord told him to do. Lord said, I'll put that word in your mouth. And Randy comes back to the gas station, says, Coach, I got to go back. I didn't do what the Lord told me to do. And Randy went and did what the Lord told him to do. Randy went and did it. The Lord put the words in his mouth, and Randy went and did it. And we went back a third time, and we filed affidavits, and we had guys go deliver those affidavits to the state police and to the FBI and to the local police. And they just did what the Lord – see, they weren't responsible for what happened. They were just responsible for whether or not they did it. The duty is ours. The results belong to God. But we went and did it. And as we did that, then the Lord said, hey, I got me a faithful crew here. I got some people here maybe I can trust. And so, I mean, I could take you through a litany, a series of things. We end up down in – why are we down in Georgia at the Guidestones? Why did we do that? Well, he told us to. So you go down there, I'm going to put my words in my mouth, and you go down there and you say some stuff for me. You got me to say, what? You crazy? Coach, what are you doing? You're always running all around doing home people. Why don't you stay home and do the gospel? I am. I go. He puts words in my mouth. I say it and I go home. What? We get home from there and said,
well, amen. Coach,
Yeah, I know. Listen, I don't care. I don't do it for your applause. I'm trying to teach you something here today. What if what we're doing works? What if what we're doing actually is working? Why? Because it's the hand of the Lord. It's not me. It's not you. It's obedience to do what he tells us to do. Stay with me here. I can tell you multiple things, right? Then he comes back. He says, "Hey, coach, here's what I want you to do, coach." He said, how about going to Washington, D.C.? So I want you to go to Washington, D.C., coach, and I want you to go to we found these four cornerstones in Washington, D.C., way D.C. was laid out. I said, coach, how about if you go down there and you lay hands and pray on those four cornerstones? I said, what? He said, I can't do all that. Maybe Jack can come. Hey, Jack, could you come and do it? Jack, well, yeah, Jack can come and do it. And so Jack goes, and what's the Lord do? The Lord touches Jack's mouth and puts the words in Jack's mouth. And we go hit the four cornerstones. We go to that big obelisk, Washington Monument. We pray on it, lay hands on it. We go to the Capitol building. We pray around the Capitol building. Why, us who? Yeah, a bunch of us over there do that. And then just to tip it all off, when some of us had to go back home, Steve and some of the boys said, well, listen, we're gonna go get that fourth cornerstone, and we're gonna swing by that mosque. Or not mosque, we're gonna swing by the big Masonic temple. And Steve's gonna go in and wash George Washington's shoes with water, lay some water on, pray on it. And then we're gonna go home. And then we're gonna go home, and then when we go home, then we're gonna go to the Serpent Mound. We're gonna go to the Serpent Mound. When we go to the Serpent Mound, I don't know why, but a different group of people come. Why? Because the Lord said, I'll put the words in. If you guys go, I'll put the words in your mouth. If you'll go, if you'll just go and do it for me, I'll be with you to deliver you. What if the Lord really is using us? Now, I don't say this in any way, shape, or form to sound important. This is just the opposite. This is the ultimate sign of weakness. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll go. I don't know who I am. I don't know what difference I can make, but Lord, I'll go, Lord. I'll go. I'll go. And what if just little old me and little old you, the Lord is actually using our obedience? Then the Lord put his hand forth and he touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, hey, coach, I put my words in your mouth. Hey, Randy, I put my words in your mouth. Yeah. Hey, Jack, I put my words in your mouth. They're my words, but I'm going to put them in your mouth. That's what I'm going to do. If you will go. And remember, it says in Isaiah, who will go and who can I send? And what did Isaiah say? Ain't nobody here but me. Here I am, Lord. Send me. I'll go. I'll go, Lord. Here I am. Send me. And then Jeremiah said, see, I've set the Lord said to Jeremiah, see, I have this day set you over the nations. Steve, Deck, what if the Lord set us over the nations? In that one small moment of obedience when we went, what if he set us over the nations? Not us. We're not over the nations. But he said he would put the word in our mouth and that we would be over the nations. That's what it says. And over the kingdoms. To do what? To root out. To pull down. To destroy. To throw down. To build. And to plant. Wow. What if he really meant it? What if he really was doing this through a little band of Indians like us? Oh, I can't say Indians. Sorry down there, Serpent Mounds. Sorry. Little group like us. What if God really, really does work through minorities, small groups who are willing and able to obey?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Craig, hang on a second. Cue up for me real quick. Because I played a little bit the other day, but I didn't get a chance to do all of it. Play... the very first, no, that's not where it is. Oh, my goodness. Muslim caller, not the bottom, Spencer. Because we played it. Go ahead. Come on in, Vinny.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know who the minority is now, right? It's you guys.
What do you, how do you mean that, Vinny?
Well, I mean all of us, really. But, you know, I mean, I'm being facetious here since you had the Indian comment. So let's get
right. I got you. So the other day on the show was a month, Thursday or Friday, I can't remember which. I prayed in the after show. We have an after show every day. And we record, Joe records it. We have all of it in the after show. Some great stuff. Some of our best ministry actually takes place there. And in the midst of that, a lady called, well, I'm going to play this for her. I played it the other day, but I want you to think about. We'd just gone to the Serpent Mound. Started at the very beginning, Spencer. We'd just gone to the Serpent Mound. We got all kinds of hullabaloo because of it, and the Indians are mad. Can't say that. The Native Americans were mad at us, and we was arguing about the great spirit in the sky, and Jesus is the only spirit. And she calls into the show. She didn't even know who we were. You'll hear her say it here. She'd seen in a dream a great powerful snake, full of, she had liquid all over. You'll hear it. And then all of a sudden, the next dream she had, this snake was chopped into pieces and was dying, shriveling up. She was trying to figure out what had caused that to happen. And somehow she got on the internet and led it to here, till she shows up on the show. This is during the after show. And she talks about this snake being chopped up. And yep. Hey, what if we really did chop that thing up? What if we really did? It wasn't just some exercise and some ministry outreach. What if we really did break those chains, those bonds? What if we really did? Why? Because the Lord said, if you go, I'll put the words in your mouth. What words? The words he knows that needs to be prayed. And the prayer that Glenn prayed when we were down there. Oh, my goodness. So I want to take just a few minutes. I want you to hear this Muslim call. She identified herself as a Muslim later on in the show. Listen to what she said. She didn't know any of us. She just ended up here. What if what we're doing is working? Go ahead and play that, Spencer.
Excuse me. Good morning. Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
How you doing? Good morning. I found this website. I went on the Mysterious Universe, and it says something about the field erupts at Ohio's Mysterious Great Serpent Mine, uh-huh. Mound. Right. And then it says something about the salt, whatever group. And so then I researched, and then I came across Mr. Dave. So am I in the right direction?
You're in the right spot, sweetie. Yes, you are.
Okay. I wanted to know, what do you all know about that mound?
Well, how much time do you have?
I have a lot of time. And why did you all go there? Because I've seen that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I was clueless about it. And when I read this information, I was like, I have to get in contact with them to see what knowledge they have regarding this.
Well, we have a lot of knowledge regarding it. We believe they're demonic strongholds. In fact, we believe fallen angel technology took place there. And we went there. We didn't expect the Indians to show up. We went to bind those evil spirits is why we went. And the Indians showed up and tried to not let us get on their property, which it isn't their property. And then, of course, the media tries to make it look like we went in there and disturbed their sacred land and everything. So we understand. What happened at that place? We think we know what happened there. Do you know what happened there?
I've seen that. And, okay, when I seen the drawing on the website, it said the snake size that they uncovered of the mound was 1,200 feet. In actual reality, that snake is like 7,000 feet.
Mm.
It's seven times larger than the actual mound is really showing. About 3 weeks ago, I seen in the spirit realm, the snake, at first it was moving fast, but now it's moving real slow. It was dying in its own juices, the juices of the energy that the negative energy that they were sending out and stuff, it was covered in a mucus, grayish, slimy-like substance from witches and demonic entities and stuff like that coming together, doing all kind of wrongdoing. And so then the next vision I had, it was chopped up. So it's dead or dying. But when I seen that mound, I was like, it's so long ago and it's so old. I know whatever that is not right. And it's unholy. But people don't understand the spiritual realm because they're looking in the physical. So they don't understand that the ties. Stuff that the wicked people make and bound to the earth and release Absolutely. Those negative energies that they have secretly hidden.
Well, that's because our churches have taught us that all gods are equal and we need to respect all gods. And see, we don't believe that. We believe Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We believe he's the Alpha and the Omega, right? We believe he rules over all the earth, even over that great spirit that the Indians claim resides there. We don't believe that great spirit is a righteous spirit. We believe it's an ungodly spirit, and we went and we took authority over that thing. And praise the Lord that you see that thing chopped up, because that's what I believe we did.
And
Steve, drums were planted.
Okay, you can stop.
What's your name, by the way?
You can stop it there.
My name is Mo.
What if we did something there? Do we really believe we did something there? What if we really did something when we went to the Georgia Guidestones? What if we really did something?
Hey, Coach.
Hang on a second.
You can say that without the what if, because we did.
What if we went to D.C., we prayed on those four cornerstones in the Capitol and the big phallic symbol, and washed George Washington's feet, holy water? What if that really worked? And I have to be honest with you, I hadn't thought much about it. I just did what the Lord told us to do. And I have to confess that maybe I didn't really believe in the power of his words. We know that when Randy Lunsford, sorry, Randy, blow your cover. When Randy Lunsford went to Chappaqua, New York, and lay hands on that gate, he had a word from the Lord to do that. Randy just didn't do that on his own. Why would the Lord send Randy to do that if there wasn't a purpose and a reason for, if it wasn't effectual? Why would he have Randy go do it? Something's happening. Something's happening. So I got a call from Craig yesterday, and Craig, I'm going to let Craig come in here in a minute. Because Craig began to tell me something I hadn't really thought about. What if we really, hey, Mike Heath, what if the left really was damaged? What if they really are gasping for air? And what if we had more people doing this kind of stuff? Or how about this? What if we actually had the boot on their throat right now, and we dropped the ball by not following through and finishing the job? Somebody give me a thumbs up if you know what I'm talking about. Have any idea what I'm talking about? What if we got that beast so wounded and we don't even know it? And he's down and he's gasping for air and we don't even know it. And Craig called me and said, Coach, I think, paraphrasing, I think we did more than we realized we did, and we need to double down. Craig, come on in a minute. Take more than a minute. Come on in and just lay out what you think you heard from the Lord about it.
Well, Coach, I just think that one is I think everybody, you know, if you study about anointing, there were certain people anointed to do certain things, and that didn't make them necessarily any better or special. It just made them called upon, and their free will, they answered the call. And I believe there are certain parts of this group did that, that were directed from the Lord directly.
But so Craig, let me stop a second, Craig. Could it be that Jeremiah is in the Bible because he's the only one that answered the call? How many people do we know maybe God sent that call out to, but only Jeremiah answered it? We don't know that, do we?
That's correct. We won't know until, you know, we see the Lord face to face. But I think there's a lot of people that we don't even know and that have touched it are doing different things. I think some of the things that we did were ornate to this particular group. And I felt like, I went to the September 26th, the return, and, you know, I watched people. I mean, when I was listening to Jonathan Cajon down there on the mall, you'll know that every so often there's gravel pieces where it ties them all together. You can walk on these gravel pieces. And, you know, I was just taking some pictures and there was a young man in his early 20s that was on his knees with his face against the pebbles on the ground for like 15 to 20 minutes. I stood next to him and he got up and I said, you know, you encouraged me. I said, what's your name? And I talked to him for a minute and I said, I mean, people actually walked around him and I said, you know, the Lord's going to honor your prayer. And he said, you know, I'm just broken. I'm broken for what's going on. And what I realized is there's hundreds of thousands and even millions in our country and are broken over what we're seeing. And I believe that that's having an effect. And and I think that this is all tied into a period of time that we're in this week with what's coming up. Mm. You know, if you want to get into the discussion about the abortion and stuff, we can do that. But that was a precipice of my call is that I think God has heard his people and I think he's willing to do a great work. I think he's waiting to finish it for us.
Well, I don't think we understand. I got four hands in the air. I'll bring them in, Craig, and then I do want to get into the abortion. It is without question, folks. God is not going to rescue us if we don't stop abortion. We have the power to do it. We have the power of God behind us to do it, and we refuse to do it. And the shedding of innocent blood not only angers the Lord, it empowers the left. It empowers the demonic side, the shedding of innocent blood. I'm going to jump into that here in a second. I got a bunch of people who have something they want to say here real quick. So let me pull them in. Come on in. Let's start. Here's what I got. I got Glenn, Naomi, and Clay. Those are the first ones, and we'll go from there. Go ahead, Glenn. No, Naomi. Glenn didn't want in, I guess. Go ahead, Naomi. You're up.
I'd just like to say for me, it's very humbling for me to think about the assignments that God puts me on and to think that he trusted me out of all the people in the world. He trusted me for that assignment. So how could I not do it? How could
Amen.
I put it down?
Amen. Amen. Clay, come on in. Clay, then Larry.
I'll try to make this short, Coach, but I want to give testimony to what you're talking about. I was disappointed when those Appeal to Heaven flags didn't get there. And I knew I was supposed to be in Washington, D.C. So I was able to get one flag together, rigged up. And they say we took weapons. You know, they're wanting to accuse us of taking weapons to D.C. Well, I took an Appeal to Heaven flag, so that might have been the best weapon we could have took.
Yes, sir. Yep.
But you saw it happen. I stood out there in the cold. I didn't have enough clothes on. We stood there for 4.5 hours and was freezing. And we're listening to that 80s music. And I was disgruntled about the whole thing. But when we, you know, my ride was going to leave Washington, D.C. And I couldn't leave. And you seen it happen. I couldn't leave. I couldn't go home. You know, and you said, why are you still here? And I said, I'm staying. You said, how are you going to get home? And I said, I don't know, but the day's not over. So I had to take that Appeal to Heaven flag up to Capitol Hill. And I don't know if y'all know this, but, you know, the Capitol wasn't originally on Capitol Hill. It was in another state. That might, I mean, There was other people that had Appeal to Heaven flags. The first time that Appeal to Heaven flags are flown on Capitol Hill since George Washington was president.
Hmm.
And I don't know why we did that. I don't know why we did that, but I had to do it, Coach. And if I wouldn't have done it, I'd be sitting here right now with a guilty conscience. So I just want to give that testimony that I had to do
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Hey, thank you, Clay. Hey,
Larry, Larry, yeah, go ahead, Glenn. Glenn,
sorry,
Larry.
I couldn't get my phone unlocked here quick enough.
All right.
I think the Holy Spirit, Coach, has revealed this to you.
I think so.
Today, because I was listening to an interview. I'll tell you why. I was listening to an interview with Catherine Austin Fitz, and she was a walking interview. She was in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I saw
and
that.
At the end of the interview, she said, and her experience has been that when people stand up and they fight back, okay, it causes confusion. And so I was thinking about, and then I thought, well, that's what happened. That's what happened with Gideon. Gideon had a few people. And if you look at Judges 7, verses 19 to 22, that's where it explains what Gideon's army did. And so the analogy here is that this is like Gideon's army.
Amen.
This pass the salt is like Gideon's army. It doesn't take a crowd. It takes a few committed hearts, people willing to go. And
obedience.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Amen. Amen, Glenn. And see, here's the thing. We've been doing all this stuff, not actually believing that he was working through us, not actually believing it. He just said it to Jeremiah, and look what Jeremiah did. What would he do if we were all obedient to do that? Great word, Glenn. Come on then, Larry. Larry, then Dale, then Kevin. Go ahead.
Yeah, I want to take about 1 minute and put to scripture what you have just gone over this morning. Scripture says all things work to the good. That includes the things that he has us do. Scripture says we pray for his will and then we trust it. And then we don't try to figure it out ourselves, because when we figure stuff out ourselves, that's called leaning to your own understanding. Mm-hmm. And if you want to prevent God from leading you in your life, you try to lead yourself. Don't work.
Amen. Amen.
And the other thing is John 7:17 says, if your will is to do his will, when you hear something, you're going to know if it's from God or not. So you put those together, and it says when we are obedient to do these little seemingly stupid, funny, off the track, whatever things that don't seem to make sense, but when we are obedient and we are doing those things, like laying on one side for hundreds of days and then having to roll over and lay on the other side, when we do that, everything we do will work to the good. Everything we do will be within his will. And it all hinges basically on leaning not to our own understanding.
So
every time we try to figure out what's happening and why it's happening, we're encroaching into God's will. We're encroaching into his understanding.
So
and we
Jesus,
need to stop doing that mess.
So when Jesus turned the water into the wine, his mother said to the servants, whatever he says unto you, do it. It's so simple, isn't it? So simple. Dale, come in. And then Stephanie. I forgot Stephanie. Dale, Stephanie, and then Kevin. Go ahead, Dale.
Brother, I pray this is encouraging in Revelation, just sitting here and listening. First thing is you're opening up Jeremiah. Remember, what did the Lord say, Jeremiah? They're not going to listen to you, Jeremiah.
Yeah.
Go anyway, right? Brother, don't be discouraged, because remember, there's two types of battles. There's a flesh and then there's the supernatural. You talked about that the snake was chopped up. You know why it was chopped up? Because it was a spiritual thing. It's the sword of the spirit that was unsheathed.
Wow.
And it did something in the spirit realm that your natural eyes can't see, because Satan likes to bring it into the natural realm, because that's what he uses, scalpels against little babies to be horrific and cut them up. Revelation chapter 12, it says, and the serpent, that great dragon, he comes to do what? Battle with the offspring of the seed of the woman. So he's manifesting in the natural, but our battle is a spiritual battle that we cannot see, that we cannot comprehend. But brother, what you chopped that snake up with was the sword of the spirit.
Amen. We sure did, Dale. Let's get Stephanie, then Kevin, then Rachel. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Morning, everybody. Yeah, thanks for this message. I just want to say out there, guys, I have enough faith right now for all of us. I believe, I know with every breath I take that what everyone has done going to not just the Serpent Mound, but everything you guys have gone prayed on, I know you don't understand it. Please listen to me. They believe in it, and that's what they do, and they understand the cycles, and they understand it takes time. That's why they follow the cycles, and they follow the moon, because they understand the energies and the points, and they've learned the right recipes. What word? It takes a minute. Have patience. It works. I live it and breathe it with that, and just hold your faith. Just hold your faith.
We went to Biden's. We went to Obama. You guys remember that? Remember we did all that stuff? Wow, huh? Come on, Kevin. Come on in, Kevin. Then Rochelle.
Well, just being obedient, just as others have said. I wanted to join you, Coach, on several of those tasks and missions that the Lord had appointed you to do, and I wasn't able to do it, but I tried to contribute in some form or fashion. And then with the DC trip. Putting that together and doing that, just trying to be obedient. And that was hard. That was very difficult. But we're starting to see the magnification of our obedience rippling through the spiritual world. And on top of that, you know, I shared with you guys over the weekend, Missouri is now the first abortion-free state, and apparently we have been since the end of October or the 1st of November, because the only death mill we had up in St. Louis started referring abortions over into the Illinois clinic back in the end of October or 1st of November, and so we have been abortion-free for over a month. Wow. Let's focus that energy. Let's take some prayer and focus that energy here in the central part of the country and make it as a wildfire so that it goes all the way through across this country and across this world to stop the slaughter of our innocents.
Yeah, do we believe it? Do we believe the Lord can use us? I believe he can. Bless you, Kevin.
I believe it.
Rochelle, come on in. Rochelle, then Myra.
Good morning, everyone. Boy, we miss you too, Coach. Monday, I look forward to Monday mornings. Okay, Kevin, yay. First of all, that is amazing. And Larry, that was good stuff. And Stephanie, girl, you know stuff that we don't. I've always wondered if the, like in Revelation, when it talks about the mortal wound being healed, I thought that might be from witchcraft and sacrifices and stuff like that. All right, what I wanted to say was what you're doing, Coach, when you go to these places is when you're pulling down the strongholds of the devil, these are his fortresses. And I was reading this just this weekend. This is 2 Corinthians 4:3. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So that's his fortress. That's his stronghold. That's what you are destroying when you go to these places.
Amen.
And that is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and they won't last very long. They produce for us glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For things we see now will be gone, but the things Amen. We cannot see will last forever.
Amen. Amen.
And, you guys are doing good things. And in Proverbs 16:3, 4, and 5, that's where I'm going to leave you with. Commit your actions to the Lord and your plans will succeed. The Lord has made everything for his own purposes, even the wicked for his day of disaster.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Rochelle. Come on in. Come on in, Myra. Hang on a second, sweetheart. Then I want to direct this back to Craig for
hey, Coach.
The whole purpose of this thing. Myra's up first. Myra's up. Go, Myra.
Yes, I love all my brothers and sisters in the huddle. Brother Parker, thank you for bringing the appeal to heaven flag to yes, the sir. U.S. Capitol. And also, I have a question. what we're doing in regard to abortion, where we're going to go and start being boots in the ground. What are our plans? Thank you.
All right, Myra. Hey, you're right in tune with us. Dale, did you want to say something, brother? Randy, did you want to come in? Dale or Randy?
Dave?
Yes. Jack?
Hey, Coach. This is Cindy. I love you all, and every one of you, that was excellent. I got my biopsy back, and there's no cancer. And the doctor was completely baffled. She could not believe it.
take that devil. Amen.
And I was up in the night praying, and I want to say this real quick. I don't believe it's over. With everything inside of me, I am still praying for our president. And I studied about Moses, you know, right before they went, they were crossing the Red Sea there. They could see their enemy on their tail. And we should not, this date, this inauguration, I don't care. I don't care. I believe with all my heart and all my being that it's not over. I believe it doesn't, the date has nothing to do with it. God has seen the heart of that 20-year-old on his knees. So many people around the world have been praying, interceding, fasting. God loves his people, and he will see this through. I mean, there's going to be a little shaking. I do believe we're going to have some persecution, which is good. But I do believe righteousness and justice will prevail, and the swamp will be drained.
Okay, so great. So that leads us, bless you, Cindy. That leads me back to Craig, because Craig is really the progenitor. That's not the right word. Craig saw this. Craig's putting this together. So do you understand? They canceled, can I say this? Praise the Lord, they canceled the March for Life. Praise the Lord, 48 years of celebrating that thing. See you next year. Praise the Lord, they canceled the March for Life. But the significance of abortion as to where we are right now, Craig put me on tune to that yesterday in our conversation. So, Craig, we got about 12 minutes, brother. Try to lay that out. Listen, we're going to look at me. Everybody look at me. Hey, look at me. We're gonna do some fasting and praying together here. Not today. Craig's gonna launch us off, this group right here, into a fast. We're gonna talk about that because listen, we got our boot on the devil's throat. We got our boot on the serpent's neck, folks. We've got it. We're crushing his head. We're crushing it. But we have to understand. Go ahead, Craig.
Well, first, Larry, thank you for that mic drop about today's, because that will help me explain this. One of my favorite, I love the whole Bible. Some of you heard me, Ezekiel, a wheel within a wheel. Some things are, you know, there's nothing new under the sun in Solomon. And what we're coming up to is we're coming up to an apex in a moment. And one thing to remember when you go back to Ezekiel about laying, he had to lay 390 days on one side for the iniquities of northern to 10 tribes, and he needed to lay 40 days for the iniquity of Benjamin and Judah for a total of 430. So I want to just give you real quick to understand that was a day for every year. Now go back and let's look at the nation of Israel in Exodus 13. It says, so the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. They were there for 430 years. And so what I'm saying is what I'm getting ready to propose for this group, and I've been trying to send it out to others, and you need to ponder this and let the Holy Spirit convict you of it, is on January 22nd, 1973, the Supreme Court of the United States, not the Supreme Court and the Supreme Ruler of Heaven, declared that it was okay for this country to have abortion in all 50 states. We're 48 years past that. And what we're having is we're having an apex of a complete control of all levels of our government, as far as the president and Congress, with a Democratic platform that's going to put the put the pedal to the metal with abortion.
Yes, sir.
And what I'm asking for you to consider is I want you to take a 48-hour fast, 1 hour for each year since 1973, just like Ezekiel had to lay on the side for 390 days for the iniquity for his nation. We need to be in fasting and prayer. And you could, and the actual date for this, you know, the was January 22nd. But I'm going to take it a little step further for myself. I got 48 hours between 12 o'clock today and 12 o'clock Wednesday, because that's when the next president has to take control of this country by the Constitution. We have 48 hours between now and then. And I would encourage you to do that individually, but also share that with other believers that can walk in this walk. I think God will honor that. I don't know how that looks, but I know that God will honor it.
I'm in. So what Craig is preparing, 48 years of baby slaughter, 48 years of marching for life and not doing anything about it. We've got our foot, our heel on the neck of the enemy. By the way, it says that in Psalms, right? That he would give us the necks of his enemies. You guys know where that is? In Psalm, it's Psalm 35, maybe. You have given me the neck of my enemies, right? So Craig is proposing 48 years, 48 hours, beginning at noon today. Who will say, Coach, I'm in? Just raise your hand. I'm in, Coach. I'm going to fast with you, Coach, for 48 hours to specifically end the slaughter of the unborn. I see a bunch of hands. I didn't mean you had to. God bless. I think there's something there, Craig. I think, folks, listen. Stephanie, if you're listening, you can come back in. Come back in here a second. Stephanie, talk about, I heard four different, funny how sometimes things get stuck in your head and you keep hearing it over and over and over and over. You know that? You know what I'm talking about? I've heard four different things talk this weekend talking about energy, negative energy. See, there's something to this thing that we don't understand yet. Are you there, Stephanie? Can you talk to me about negative energy?
Yep, I'm right here. Yeah, there's a lot of people right now that they're feeling depression and anxiety that have never had these issues. You have all these worries. People that I've talked to, they're having chest pains that don't normally have chest pains. Let me tell, it's all the energy, because all you're thinking about all the time, you're overwhelmed by what you're seeing and what you're hearing, your senses, your meat suit senses, sight, sound, taste, hear, touch. Those things will control your mind and distract you from everything. And then you start thinking bad thoughts, and that's all you're thinking about. You're not focused on the blessings and what you have. You're worried about all this.
But
that
Stephanie,
energy's going
Stephanie.
Out.
It's because of Stephanie. The left is releasing so much negative energy.
Yeah.
They're bleeding out in front of us.
Yeah. And then that's being used. All that negative energy goes out and it's being used. It goes somewhere. We need to grab our energy back, keep track of our thoughts, and do our prayers. And just like the fasting, this is I'm in for the fasting for the babies too. Like I said, this energy is feeding a direct line, and we need to focus on this energy line. And it's all going to the same, and we need to focus and target and directly chop that line.
Yeah. Amen.
Every thought goes somewhere, and every thought, try doing that for one day. Every thought you have, pay attention to it. Is it fear? Is it anger? Are you being grateful? And pay attention to that. It's a lot harder.
James Pollock, come on in, then Silver. Go, come on in, James. Your hand's up, I assume you want. Silver, you come in, James. Because sometimes they get, go ahead, Silver.
All right. Spencer, can you pull back up Jeremiah, please? Jeremiah 1. Thank you. Scroll down to 4 there. That's good right there. This is from the Lord. We're changing the words of this scripture for you. Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed all of you in the belly, I knew you. Mm. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. And I ordained you as prophets unto the nations. Then said I, oh, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Lord, I don't have a way to broadcast. But the Lord said unto you, say not that I cannot broadcast, for you shalt go to all that I shall send thee. And whatsoever I command you, thou shalt speak.
Amen.
Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord.
Amen.
And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words
in your
mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations, plural, and over the kingdoms, plural, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Thus saith the Lord.
Wow.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Hey, there's a good question in chat. It's kind of like, what are we praying for? Okay. And I just want to read from what I put in an email I sent to you. This is what I'm praying for. And you know, you lead as God leads. I'm just sharing what I'm doing. It says, realize this is where we are as a nation and a people. And I'm going to go on to this 48-hour fast. I'm pleading to ask God for forgiveness. First, take your own responsibility. First, for my lack of sense of urgency in this matter. And I got to say, Coach, you convicted me of that. Secondly, the church for its lackluster fight over 48 years. We were supposed to be the watchmen, the whole church, and we failed. Thirdly, the nation and the government for making such a law in the first place. And finally, we got to intercede for the people who don't even know the difference between right and wrong. And finally, for the people and their basic indifference to innocent blood being shed in our country and not knowing how God looks at it, not how we look at it, how God looks at it.
Amen.
And also, I would just say, go to Psalm 10. Not you have to read it, but those that read Psalm 10, because it talks about being under the neck of the wicked people over you. And we're getting ready, potentially, in 48 hours to have that happen.
Amen. Kimberly, come on in.
Well, good morning, my fellow deplorables.
Yeah, here you go.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Okay, so I've been listening to different prophets, and from what I've heard and what I kind of understand is God was done with the time for all these people to repent, and he removed their covering. Mm-hmm. And then last night, and we have to remember too, God created the world through his words.
Amen.
And our mouth, our tongue steers. So I think it's kind of like when you're praying for a parking space and you're surprised that it's there.
Yeah. Amen.
You know?
Amen. Yeah.
And then that, I think that's what God wants us to stop doing is, if we, you know, we have to speak, and then through faith, he does. And he doesn't want us to stop with this. I mean, this is why everything got as bad as it did, is because we stopped speaking. We're like, okay, everything kind of sucks, you know, it's just that way, you know, we're going to go push some worms up. So we've got to stop doing that. So I think from here forward, we got to speak out, and it's always going to be in agreement. If you've got a pure heart, you clean your heart every day and you speak through faith what God's will is on this earth. And you guys have already said this. But last night, and I normally don't have dreams like this, and I have like warrior dreams. So God showed me pictures of all the people that are the deplorables, the real deplorables, and their eyes were black. Mm. And he allowed me to reach into their eyes and cut off like Leviathan, like a tentacle, like a octopus.
Yeah.
And then basically one of them, he allowed me to just go right. I could put a hole in their forehead and go in and grab this thing and cut it off and then cut it off to our land.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something going on right now. And as you said, I think the more we speak and don't stop. Oh, it's like, okay, we're close. Okay, well, yeah. We're just going to coast in. We're going to turn it off like a boat, just coast into the dock. And so we've just got to keep, right now, it's the time where we got to keep pushing. And just Amen. Do it in prayer at home. Amen. We're all saying the same thing. And awesome. God hears this.
We're out of time. James, let me get James in here. Thanks, Kim. Kimberly, James, real quickly. James Pollock, come in.
I just wanted to give a word of encouragement again. I'm really, really encouraged by what y'all are doing, this fasting, this praying, and what Stephanie said about our attitudes, an attitude of repentance in our mind, in our spirit, in our gut. Trust our guts and don't give up.
Amen.
So I look forward to seeing y'all over here with Denny. We got some things going on, and I don't want to waste a bunch of time telling you about them. I just want to say God is on his throne, and we are his servants, and we will go where he says, when he says, now, in the name of Jesus.
Amen. And Psalm 18:40 says, thou hast given me the necks, plural, of my enemy. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, Coach.